The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Bring it down. If you're physically able to stand, I'm going to ask that you would do so right now. What's amazing is it's biblical that worship precedes the word. Praise and worship precedes the word. The Ark of the Covenant followed in line and followed behind the worshipers. They led before the word. But you've heard me say this before, that I believe that the church is a beautiful place, but it can be a dangerous place, because it can be a danger for some folk to come and hide out. But it also can be a danger because you got to be careful what you say. Because we say a lot of stuff, and the Lord's going to test our hearts to see if we mean it. We said, "Lord, I love you more than anything." Watch the text. "Lord, I love you more than anything." That's what we just preceded the word. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says this, New King James Version. So the Lord said, "Okay, I hear you." So Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days." Now, we're going to work on it, because that's a sliver of scripture that, if you're like me, you need to be asking, "Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying to me? What are you saying about me? And how are you about to test me based on what I just said?" I said, "Lord, I love you more than anything." And so Solomon, the Lord says through Solomon in Ecclesiastes 11:1, he says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days." This morning, for just a little while, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject, cast your bread. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Cast your bread. Cast your bread. Amen. Thank you. Thanks. My brothers and my sisters, Ecclesiastes was written by one of the wisest men that ever lived. And so right off the bat, I need to just show you here and teach you something, that when God speaks about bread here in this text, he's talking about those things that you have, which you can commit to him, such as your time, your talents, your finances, your ministry, your gifts, your abilities, your dreams, your visions, etc. He said, you need to cast them. But the thing is that so many people struggle in so many areas of their lives, present company included, because we tend to compute the word and what thus saith the Lord, and we filter it in our natural minds. I heard it this morning in Sunday school. We filter a lot of stuff in our natural minds. When at the end of the day, the point of the matter is this, that when God encourages us to do something, it's always do it his way no matter what. Amen. No matter what. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." If you and I want to come to a place of fulfillment and purpose in our lives, we need to listen to what God says, regardless of how uncomfortable or how senseless it may sound to our ears. Genesis chapter 6, one of the stories that we had to study in Sunday school for this quarter is about Noah. Genesis chapter 6, God had Noah build an ark per his specific instructions for the purpose of what? For saving Noah, his family, two of every kind of animal that God instructed him to place into the ark for safety. Why? Because God was about to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy everything that was on the earth. It's per the word of God. The thing that's amazing, however, Sister Starward, is that in that passage, Noah did as God instructed him to, and he did it without any hesitation. And per our understanding of the scriptures, Noah had not even seen rain before and probably didn't even know what it was. Now, I'm going to put a quarter in it right there and park. I said, Noah did what God instructed him to do, to build an ark for some rains that were going to come. And per our understanding of the scriptures, Noah had not even seen rain. Noah didn't, he probably didn't know what it was, and nor did the people of his time. Now, here's the problem. Just like this morning, what happens is we hear that, and it goes through a filter. So I don't care if you in church, at work, at school, wherever, there are going to be some folk that say, now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me, because, you know, you're going to have some intellectuals. You mean to tell me that it didn't rain at all until Noah's time? Come on, Keeling. Or are you telling me that it had not rained since creation week? What are you saying, creation week? Well, you got to know the word of God. In Genesis chapter 2, it should be up there on your screen. Genesis 2 and 5 and 6, it says, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till it. I'm talking about creation. Keep it in context. Verse 6 says, but a mist went up, teach Holy Ghost, from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Now, that's the word of God. But wait a minute. There's still a filter going on, Brad, because you got to know the history. Because the flood didn't happen until about 1,000 years after creation. I come to preach and teach. That's a lot of time not to have any rain. That's a filter going on. And so you end up getting in debates and discussions, Sister Cargill, about trying to help folk understand to keep the context of Noah building an ark, because we say that he had not seen rain before. But here's what you got to do. Quit opining or giving your opinion and just stick to what thus saith the Lord. And if you want to end any of that debate, listen, were you there to know that Noah had not seen any rain? No, I didn't, but I know the word of God. Hebrews 11 and 7 ends the debate. Because Hebrews 11 and 7 says, we got to know what thus saith the Lord. It says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. End of discussion. End of discussion. Not yet seen, the Bible says, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. What are we going to talk about now? But see, the problem is, from the pulpit to the door, when the Lord is speaking, we're filtering. If you want to come to a place of fulfillment and purpose in our lives, we're going to need to learn to listen to what thus saith the Lord. We got to listen to what God says, regardless of how uncomfortable or senseless it may sound to our ears. So back here in our text, Ecclesiastes 11:1, Solomon says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. And we already said that bread is your talents or your gifts, abilities, etc., etc. So you got to ask yourself, Lampkin, what exactly is Solomon talking about here? I mean, this does not compute. I mean, why would he say or infer that I have to, in essence, throw away or give away my talents, give away my abilities, give away my finances, my gifts, etc., in order for me to be effective in the kingdom of God? That's because the fact of the matter is, and I'm going to teach it here in a minute, is that we got too many folk who are trying to do stuff in the natural and haven't delved into the supernatural. We got folk content on what they think they did for themselves. And if you could save yourself, you would not need Jesus. Amen. Because the fact of the matter is, you and I have some things. Let me get practical here. We got some things that we need to cast away, but we got to do it God's way. Listen, I said we got to do it God's way. See, we got folk giving away stuff, but that ain't the way God told you to give it away. We got folk giving away birthrights. Come on, somebody. I need some Bible readers in here. And you're doing it on the cheap. God said, no, don't give that away. Don't give away your dignity. Don't give away your self-respect. I had some stuff you're going to give away, and you're giving it to the wrong person. He said, give it to me and do it my way. Why? Because when it returns, it actually becomes a blessing. God wants us to rely on him for his supernatural provision and not what we can provide in our own natural strength. You see, when you cast something that's precious to you and then you walk away from it, what do you mean? Because the water's going to carry it away. Teach, Holy Ghost. You can't take it back. But nothing that is cast away to God is ever lost. Anything that you cast away according to the will of God and to the glory of God will always last. Casting means giving it away. There are some people in the church, outside of the church, in your home, in your family, on your job, on your playground, in your schools. There's some people, there's some situations, there's some things that you and I may have to remove ourselves from. And the reason being is because we're going to have to remove ourselves from some stuff, and we're going to have to ask God to deal with it. Lord, you deal with it because you know the dynamics. I don't know what's going on right now, but you do. You see, that's God's wisdom, God's way. We still got too many of us trying to fix our own problems, and we're the reason we got into the problems in the first place. Amen. God is teaching us to be obedient his way. Why? Because he wants to bless you. That's God's wisdom. That's the only way for your ministry, your dream, your vision, whatever it is that you feel that God is wanting to say to you and get out of you, that's the only way that's going to be birthed. That's the only way for your marriage or whatever the status of your relationship is, that's the only way it's going to be blessed. That's the only way for your finances to grow. That's the only way for your talents to be enhanced. Give it to God. And when he's ready to bring it back, watch this, it's going to actually come back different than when you gave it to him. It's going to come back in a different form. Ask me how I know. He only got a couple fish and some loaves of bread, and it came back to feed thousands. Amen. If you give it to God, when he's ready to bring it back, it's going to come back to you in a different form. But not only that, it's going to come back to you better, and it's going to be a blessing and not a burden. God Almighty. Proverbs 10 and 22 says that the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Well, the same applies to our cares and our concerns. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We got to cast them on Jesus. Let God deal with it because he knows the problem. And since he knows the problem, Bell, he knows the solution. Some of us tend to carry burdens that are not ours to carry. There are too many miserable people, not just out there, but in the universal body of Christ. We need to start enjoying our lives, but not just moment by, just not in pockets and moments. We need to start enjoying our lives every day. Every day is a day of thanksgiving and a day of thanksgiving. Every day. Amen. God has not called you to misery. Come on, somebody. He hadn't called you or me to misery, but God has called us to a life of joy, peace, some abundance. But if you want to get there, there's some things that's going to have to be lifted off of you first. And there's going to have to be some principles you're going to have to apply to your life. So watch the text. Watch the text. We're going to walk through the text. I hope you didn't close your Bible. And if you still got your phone, I hope you're not texting right now. Come on, somebody. You need to be in the text. Here are a few things that we can apply to our lives right away so we can start living more abundantly, lives of joy and peace and not misery. First of all, number one from this text is, it's no deposit, no return. No deposit, no return. Where are you getting that from, Pastor King? Right there in the text, it says, cast your bread. It says, cast your bread. If you give nothing, you will receive nothing. Huh? Who was that? Come on, Greg, you my DJ. Nothing from nothing, what? You got to have what? What? If you want to, I mean, at least if you want to deal with. I mean, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but if you want to deal with, come on, somebody. But that's a kingdom principle. I mean, if you don't give things over to God, God, in a sense, can't fix it. Why? Because you're still trying to fix it for yourself. If you don't pray, how can you expect answered prayers? Come on, somebody. If you don't give an offering or sow a seed, you can't expect to receive a harvest. If you don't witness to people, you can't expect to be used by God to experience the idea of bringing and inviting somebody to Christ. God is always going to ask you what you have. And he's going to ask you that, not thinking that he doesn't know the answer. It's just like when he asked Adam, where are you? And it had nothing to do with his position. That was his condition. When God asks you what you have, he ain't asking you to pull out lint in your pockets. Here's the problem. If you multiply zero with a million, the return is always going to be, I don't even need mathematicians for that one, do I? I say it again, just because I'm going to give y'all a mulligan on that one. Huh? I said, if you multiply zero with a million, the return is what? Zero. Anything multiplied by zero will always equal to. So, for some of y'all, light bulb just went on. So if God's promise to you is 100-fold, the return would be nothing if your multiplier is always zero. God will not reward idleness, but he will reward faith with works. Amen. So no return, no deposit, no return. What's something else we can get from the text? Brother Starworth, well, number two is the return will always take some time. Where you get that from, remember? It's right in the text. It says, for you will find it after many days. Remember, one day is as a thousand to the Lord. So God's timing is unpredictable. The Bible says in 2 Peter, in case you're trying to figure out where I got that from, 2 Peter 3:8 says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. James 5:7 says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The reason why so many Christians do not fulfill their potential is because they can't wait it out and they don't want to stay for the long haul. Amen. They want to sow a seed today and receive a harvest, not even tomorrow. They want a harvest today. And God doesn't work like that. He can, but not necessarily. You need to be prepared to wait. But you wait by faith, no matter how long it takes. And watch this. Never give up on your seed. Never give up on your seed. But in addition to that, don't just give up on your seed. Be careful trying to help God. Amen. Let everything happen in God's timing. Never try to hasten the incubation period that God has set for you. So no deposit, no return. And the return is always going to take some time. But another thing we can get from this same verse is we need to learn how to be risk takers. What do you mean risk taking? Well, again, I got to stay back in here in verse 1. It says, cast your bread upon the waters. Every part of God's plan for your life is activated by taking a risk. I'm going to fix it, but watch this. Whether he gives you a step-by-step process to follow like he gave Noah, or maybe he gives you direction that's not very clear and a path to walk like Abraham. But either way, he will give you the end result just like he did for both of them. What was the end result even before he told Noah the end result even before he started building? He said, build an ark. Noah didn't ask why, but he told him why. He said, because I'm about to bring floods to the earth, and I'm going to wash the whole earth, and not anything living is going to survive. Amen. Abraham, he said, listen, he said, Lord, where are you sending me? He said, listen, I'll show you along the way. How long are we going to go? Listen, I'll show you along the way. Well, where's the sacrifice going to be? Everybody wanted to know at that point. He says, I will provide. Amen. You got to be a risk taker. The key, however, is that the steps to the plan have to be initiated by faith. Lord, you mean you want me to take the package on the job? You mean to tell me that they're closing the doors of the factory? You mean to tell me that he said or she said that they don't want to be married to me anymore? You mean to tell me that he said or she said, I quit you? Because that's what they say before y'all get married. They might say it when you're married too, I quit you. Just a little bit more unwrangling. Come on, somebody. And you trying to figure out what you're going to do. Your risk at this point is trust in God. Because you're trying to fix what's broken. And God says, listen, I might be trying to put some things in place for you. You just don't know. What do you mean? Watch this. In order for Solomon to excel in prosperity for his nation, the Bible teaches us that he loaded precious merchandise onto ships and cast them into the water. The risks were high because the journey was always a treacherous and uncertain journey. They faced unpredictable storms and dangers from their enemies. Listen, there were no insurance policies in those days to protect their stuff. Yet they took the risk and they launched the ships. Their faith was in their ships, and they believed that they would return and bring all their rewards with them. God has plans for you, and he has plans for me, but they don't include us warming church benches. Wait a minute, some of y'all ain't on the benches. Or padded chairs. God will never, in a sense, give you a second instruction until you move on the first one that he gave you. God told Abraham to move from his country. And if you follow the text, he never spoke to Abraham again, teach Holy Ghost. He never spoke to Abraham again until after he moved. Next thing I want you to see from this text, but I'm going to move off of verse 1, so I hope you didn't close your Bible. The fourth thing I want to show you is we're going to have to give over and above expectations. Where are you getting that from, Pastor King? It's in verse 2 now. Verse 2 of Ecclesiastes chapter 11 says, give a serving to 7 and also to 8, for you don't know what evil will be on the earth. Listen, we are living in a world where the future is uncertain for a lot of folk. Today, the only thing that is for certain are God's promises to those who follow him sincerely. That's all we got. In this passage of the word, Solomon tells us that if we have decided to give a certain amount, then we should actually go over and above that which we initially planned. Why? Because the things of God are always secure and reliable. Amen. Listen, if they said we only need 5 minutes, give them 10. Because if you're giving it per the word of God and to the glory of God, God is going to bless you. You can't put everybody, woo, thank you, Lord. You can't put everybody on a watch. But some of y'all said, but the Bengals come on at 1. I know. Y'all laughing. Y'all serious. In an uncertain world, your future can only be secure when you cast out by faith. God wants us to be radical in everything that we do for him. This world is becoming more and more of a desperate place, and nobody has the answers to the world's problems. The solutions are not in the heart of a man, are not in the heart of a group of men and women who sit on Capitol Hill, White House, North Korea, South Korea, China, Japan, nowhere, Russia, nowhere. No earthly leader has the answers for the problems that people are facing today. But God has the answers for his people to live in safety and security, even in a dangerous and unpredictable world. And that, my brothers and sisters, is worth investing. When you cast by faith, you may as well go the extra mile and give a little bit more. If God blessed you to wake up, you might as well give God some praise. If he blessed you to put one foot in front of the other, you might as well give a little dance for Jesus. If he said, listen, if he blessed you to breathe, you might as well open up your mouth and give God and tell the Lord, thank you. Give him a little bit more. Amen. If he blessed you to inhale and exhale, you might as well open up. You don't need 10,000 tongues. Just use the one good one you got and tell the Lord, thank you. Go the extra mile. Matthew 13:45-46 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. There are a lot of people in the world today who are seeking the truth. And that's why there are so many who are following all kinds of religions, because they are constantly trying to seek and get the secrets to life. The man in Matthew 13 had such a desire and hunger for the kingdom of God that he went on an endless journey seeking the secrets of life and thought that they were worth finding and owning. The secrets of the kingdom are treasures that are priceless and timeless. And watch this. And when we find the truth, the Bible says when he found it, he invested his entire life into it. When we discover the secrets or the truth about the kingdom, we should give up everything to buy it and then apply it radically to our lives. So as much as possible, as often as you can, and do it in as many places as you can, quit becoming a Sunday-only sower, but be a continuous giver in your life. That's the only way we're going to get a return. Amen. Finally, what I want to show you from this text here in Ecclesiastes 11 is in verses 3 and 4. The last thing I want to show you is stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. Ecclesiastes 3:11, 3, and 4 says, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Listen, there are always going to be tragedies. And you can be assured that bad things are going to happen, even to good people. That's life, especially the life that we are in, amen, on this side of times. But bad things, again, are going to happen. Therefore, it's always going to be an inconvenient time to start and do anything for God. We always can find something else to do. But what I'm amazed at is the something else to do doesn't mean that it's going to stop you from doing what you want to do. You best believe, listen, while some folk, they gave up their Sunday suit for a jersey. And there's some folk who are tailgating for the Bengals just because, and they have no idea because you know what? They believe just might be the season. But if you can put that kind of belief in the Bengals, you can put that kind of belief in the Cincinnati Reds every time the season starts. Surely, every day that the Lord wakes us up, that this is going to be a day I'm going to win. This is going to be my season. Every Sunday, God allows me to come to church. This is my season because I believe in the coach, the quarterback, the team, and the one calling all the shots. Amen. Listen, you're going to always have family problems, children problems, financial problems, physical problems with your health, issues with the past, and worries about the future. They're going to always be there. But if you wait until things are running smoothly in your life, you're going to wait forever. You're going to wait forever. Once you deal with one issue, another one is sure enough going to come. And if your problems are like mine, they don't come one at a time. They come in a game. My problems don't wait in a queue waiting on me. They don't wait. Wait a minute. What you got? Heartache and pain. What you waiting on? Stress and mess. They ain't in a queue. They come all at once. Heartache, pain, stress and mess, issues, all that stuff. They all come. They coming. They lined up. The devil is always going to try and make sure that you can never be available to please God. The best time for you to start doing something, I mean something, for God, and to start casting things upon the water is now. Now is the day of salvation. Regardless of your personal circumstances, present yourself to God today by faith. In these last days, Jesus is calling us to follow him and to cast our life now upon the water. Because when it returns, it's going to come back better than before. He wants to use us for his purposes. And God is not looking for excuses, but God is looking for commitment. As I get ready to close, there are principles. We got to quit playing with the word of God. There are principles of the kingdom that are everlasting and never changing. If you seek treasures, I'm talking the seeking the treasures of God, and the secrets of the depth of the word of God, then you will find them, but you're only going to find them when you sacrifice everything to follow Jesus and enjoy the benefits. The things of the kingdom are priceless, but you got to be patient. Just like you want some folk to be patient with you, you're going to have to be patient with some folk. We remind people that God has not done working on me. But make sure the people we are hard on, we don't forget that God has not done working on them either. There's some things that God has placed in our hearts and our minds that he has shown us, and he has given us a peek over, just like he did with the children in the promised land. But even with that, there's still some things you're going to have to go through in the wilderness just to get to whatever it is that God has put into your heart and mind. Be patient, but it's worth it. Cast your life as a seed, and you will discover what God puts back into your life. The world will never be good for you. Never. The world will never be good for you. But it's the things of the world and the kingdom of darkness that's stealing your dreams, that's sapping you of your joy, that's draining you of your strength, that's getting you to be less and less confident, weakening your self-esteem. So we got people who are now trying to be liked, even on social media, because they're trying to get to a place of being able to like themselves. And if I can get enough people to like what they try to see, but a lot of that stuff is Photoshop. It's the real you. That even before you allow people to see you, you see yourself in the mirror every day. So what is it? What is it that you think about yourself according to to what God thinks about you according to his heart. The best thing that you can do is give your life over to Jesus. And when you give your life, that comes with everything that goes with it. What is it that you're holding on to so tight? Because if you have no deposit, you're going to get no return. You need to know that once you deposit, in order to get your return, the return is always going to take some time. Marriage and relationships, raising children, dealing with just relationships, period. Financial abundance. Quit thinking that just because you invested in a stock, it's going to jump up and get you paid. You better do your homework and quit putting stock in so much of the wrong things. Amen. But you are going to have to be a risk taker. You're going to have to give up your life. You're going to have to give up your control. We got some control freaks in the house. Amen. We got some I got this on my own type folk in the house. We got some I can do this and I don't need you type folk in the house. And while y'all might say that to each other, be careful saying that to God. Be careful. You're going to have to learn to give over and above expectations. Just because you put the meal on the table, if it's cold, that ain't going to do nobody no good. Unless it's cold cuts. But don't be satisfied with the fact that I fed you. And be careful with that old school mentality. I brought you in, I can take you out. Give over and above expectations. There are going to be some folk you're going to have to give over and above some expectations. You may not like them, but God says you got to love them. Matter of fact, the Bible says, owe no man nothing but to love him. That's it. We must love him. Give over and above expectations. You can't control what other folk think about you. But you can control what you think about other folk. You can't control what other folk do for you, but you can control what you do for other folk. And quit making that a quid pro quo. You give the same way God gave, with no expectation, and you leave it there. As a matter of fact, you cast it and let God do the rest. Last thing I want to say is stop or do not make excuses. Excuses only work for, they only serve the person making the excuse. I say it again. Stop making excuses. Excuses only serve or work for the person making the excuse. And especially when you go to God. You can't tell God you don't have time. God says, I'm the one that gave you the time you got. I mean, you don't want to talk to God and talk about you don't have time. He said, I can really make it that way. And be careful going to God and saying, you have nothing to give. And God says, no, that's not true either. Because I'm the one who gave you your life. The message I simply want to leave with somebody. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Cast your bread. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. reaching the world without sacrificing the message.